My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
We have no knowledge. We're just here to scream.
Like starting to have some downstairs feelings.
I will say top women are heroes.
Top 10 anime betrayals. Fragile little bird bones.
I heard that Yuzuru Hanyu got an Anko injury, so I went out and got myself an Anko injury.
Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I am Neda. Hi.
Today, we are talking about the Four Continents Championships, specifically the short program.
For those of you who don't know, the Four Continents is basically everyone except Europe. It is Africa, Asia, Oceania, and the Americas.
It happened in Anaheim, California, and apparently that was very exciting for a lot of people. It was like a summer beach vacation in the middle of February.
Right? Do we have anything else we want to say before we get into women?
No, let's jump right into girls.
Cool, awesome. We are doing the top six of the short program. We're doing some short women. Some short, tiny little women. And speaking of tiny little women, in sixth place we have Elizabeth Tursunbayeva from Kazakhstan, who is indeed a very tiny woman.
She is. And she's so tiny that for me, I don't love her skating style. It comes off for me as very like immature and flappy.
Are you
and,
being like, short phobic?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't believe I am. I think maybe it's not her height that bothers me. I think it doesn't come off as very strong or graceful for me.
Yeah, I am inclined to agree. She is not my most favorite to watch. Mostly, I mean, it is what you said, but it's also like I never feel like I'm seeing a lot of like expression. And I'm not talking about like artistry. I'm talking about like I can't see her personality in the things she does.
She seems so sweet on like Instagram and like in real life, you know, the general consensus is that she's a doll, but she does have that very, I mean, she skates with a Terry Tutti Frutti. I don't know, what's her last name?
Tuberizzi.
That. She skates with her and it's very much the same thing of Alina, where she goes out, she looks scared, she skates like she's in a rush, and everything is just like, here's the next thing. Nothing is given space to breathe, and she doesn't get a chance to show any artistry, if she has it or not. It's just like this terrified, mad dash through her layout.
I always worry about Atari's girls, and this is not, I mean, it is an anti-Atari podcast, but like, don't quote me on that. I always worry about her for girls, because you're right, it feels like they're scared when they go out, and while we are striving for like near perfection in figure skating, I do get worried when it's like a matter of you know, being so afraid of making a mistake that you don't know if your team and your coaches are going to be on your side. I feel like even when you perform imperfectly, you should know that you're about to get, like, positive feedback and not, like, a pissed off Atari who's, like, not there for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And, like, she skated with Brian Orser for a year. Like, she had been with Atari, went to cricket for a year, didn't like it, and went back. Which shows that she, I guess, must have missed that constant attention from, you know, Atari. Because with the cricket club, you're left a little more to your own devices. Like, you're given guidance, and then they sort of say, okay, go off and practice that. And we heard when Brian kind of was giving interviews about Jenya's transition, about how that can be tough coming from Atari's club, where they're very much on you, like, 24/7. So I guess maybe Elizabeth does like the Atari method more, but I don't know, for me I just don't think it's as fun to watch.
The Atari method sounds like the like Oscar nom movie that's gonna get made eventually when one of her girls like does something.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be I, Tonya meets Whiplash.
Yeah, that sounds like some little girls about to win an Oscar.
Oh my god. Well, that's the other thing, is Elizabeth Tursunbayeva is 19. She's just very small. Like, she's not young like a lot of the Atari girls, but
yeah, she's not young, she's 19.
For skating, that's like
yeah, she's like basically retired. She's a middle-aged woman. Okay, but let's like actually talk about this program, because I have some opinions. This is such a boring music choice, and I get it, it's a classic. We all enjoy it in some iterations. I'm just like, there's so much classical music to pick from.
I'm inclined to actually disagree. This is fun when we disagree because it doesn't happen often. I love the Moonlight Sonata. I know it's like so basic, but I adore it. And I was literally just watching Shoma's Moonlight Sonata like right before we were recording. And I was thinking how amazing it can be when it's done well, because it's like the most dramatic thing. And like Beethoven is like such an emo bitch. You can trust me on that because I majored in music theory.
No, see, but, yeah. I agree that it's a wonderful piece of music, but it's exactly what you're saying. It's like Shoma's done it and like a billion other people have done it. And it's just, there's just like only so much Moonlight Sonata I can take, especially when it's not like my favorite choreo. Maybe if she was like performing differently, I'd be like, yeah, you know what, it's fine. Like the way I do it, some Carmens, but I just can't deal.
Well, that's, I think, what it is. I think you hit the nail on the head, because I think the reason that I really like the Moonlight Sonata, and it's something that I associate with Beethoven in general, is this like heaviness and this like gravitas. And I can see why it would work well with someone like Shoma, who we'll talk more about later in this episode when we get to the boys, but he skates with so much like force and like borderline maybe too much tension in his shoulders. But Kirsten Baeva is kind of the opposite. She's kind of like a floaty fairy who has that like baby deer quality that for me doesn't really fit the heaviness and the drama of the piece. Like I think that something lighter and floatier would fit better with her style. I mean, my gosh, agreed. Could you pick a more dramatic piece than Moonlight Sonata? Like,
agreed. Before we move on, just so we're not like all negative, because I don't like doing that, is I want to say that this blue is so pretty. Her dress looks so gorgeous on ice. She is doing the absolutely criminal thing of pulling her tights only halfway over her skates, which upsets me deeply. But her dress is pretty. She looks great.
She does look beautiful. And I think, too, that this choreography is not doing her any favors. It's by Daniil, who we call him Eteri's manservant.
Which is horrible, but also correct.
Exactly. And he clearly learned how to choreograph from her, because it's the same problem that I have with Alina's Phantom, which Eteri choreographed, which is, it's like the next thing, the next thing, the next
it's
thing.
It's just ceaseless. It just keeps coming at you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's one way to do it, but I wrote that it's more like the Roadrunner Sonata than the Moonlight Sonata.
Aww.
She's technically very good, though. I mean, she's, you know, landing her jumps. And I mean, there's a reason she does well and gets in the top six. And, you know, next week when we talk about the free, we can talk about the fact that she's already attempting a quad sal, which is like...
Yeah. No, she's great technically. I just wish we could get like a little bit more performance out of her. And I would probably be interested. Different music and like a little bit more performance, and I'll be here for it. After all of what we said, Elizabeth does score 68.09 for her free skate. So in fifth place, we have Miss Riku Kihira, who is from Japan and is our current reigning everything.
Yeah, she's the current reigning Grand Prix final champion. And it's her very first senior season. And she's just coming out here and killing it, because she's got a triple axel. She's got a six pack. She's like this tiny little
triple axel and a six pack.
Yeah, which
so I is how I, life.
I roll into every party with a triple axel and a six pack.
God, and, I wish that were me.
Right? No, she's just like very small, but unlike how we were saying that Elizabeth Trsembayeva has kind of like a floaty, like nebulous quality to her skating, Rika has grace and strength because she's super small and cute, but super muscular. Yeah, my mom always says she looks like the skater in a music box. Like, she's just this adorable little graceful doll. I love her.
She reminds me, her physicality reminds me of like gymnasts as well, because she is like so small, but like compact and very strong. She does her shorts. She skates out looking like everything I wanted to look like when I was like 7 years old. She has this like dreamy ponytail. It's like curled.
She looks like she's about to make her first communion on Neptune.
Yeah, it's very like space princess, but not like a space princess who like fights in battles. She's like actually the one who's like sitting at a throne, and she's like, oh yes, this is my army.
I would die in space for Rika Kihira.
I will die in real life on Earth.
Yeah, I would die on Earth for Rika Kihira. She skates to Clair de Lune by Claude Debussy. I love him. Like, he's one of my favorite composers, and I think it's so awful that he died of ass cancer.
I mean, you gotta die somehow.
Okay, but that's not a good way.
Yeah, it is Claire de Lune, and I know Claire de Lune is not technically a lullaby, but I always, like, associate it with, like, you know, a nighttimey. There's, like, a single candle at your window, and, you know, you're going to bed in a white nightgown kind of fantasy.
Well, it is a nighttimey song in that it's about the moon.
It is about the moon. That, I guess that's it. It feels like a lullaby to me every time, and it fits this program because the way she skates it is, like, so dreamlike and, you know, so light and just elegant that it fits my fantasy of what it should be, and that pleases me greatly.
So Rika's big thing that we're always watching for is the triple axel because she's one of the few women who has it. And it's not always the most consistent, especially in her short program. And like a few other times that we've seen her this season, she comes out and pops her axel. And the first or second practice day leading up to this, she like jammed her finger or something. And she's skating in two different skates. Like she's got all these odds stacked against her. So it's not that surprising that she made a mistake like that, but she does not let it get to her.
She has been skating in two different skates, and you can very much clock that because the blades are different colors. And the thing is, I always watch for when people fuck up their first jump, because sometimes, like, people will, like, let that get to them, and sometimes, like, it's a motivator to, like, actually keep going and, like, prove that was, like, a one-time thing, and the rest of it is good. And she kind of does that. Like, the rest of it after the axel is pretty good. Like, overall.
Yeah, it really is. Like, she just kind of gets right back up. All her, you know, her other jumps are beautiful. She keeps that grace and that dreamlike quality.
Yeah, she's not fazed for, like, a second. She has the triple flip, triple toe after that, and it goes well. And then her triple lutz is beautiful as well. And, like, she gets, like, positive GOE on, like, everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that she gets 0 points for that popped axel because of the way that the scoring works in the short program. Yeah. And yet she's still able to be in the top six with girls who did all their required elements.
Yeah, there's people who are like skating like mostly clean and she's there like messing up like her one very important jump and she's still fifth, which is great.
So she gets off the ice. And her coach is so sweet with her. The coach just kind of looks at her and she takes her hands and she goes, Ashita, which is like tomorrow. It's Japanese for tomorrow. And she knew. Like, she knew. Foreshadowing. She knew what was going to happen.
Yep. So Rika gets 68.85 for her short. And that puts her, like, 0.74 above Elizabeth. And then we have in fourth place, Miss Sunsu Lim.
Unsu Lim.
From Korea, 15 years old and wonderful.
This is also her first senior season, right?
Yeah, it is. I remember, like, the first time we watched her during the Grand Prix series, I remember us watching her and being like, where did she come from? Like,
she skates with Raph Artunian, with Nathan Chen and Mariah Bell and Roman Posar, like, over at Lakewood.
God, we love Team Raph.
She is another one like Rika who is very young but skates with a lot of maturity and grace. And she's also kind of like mentored, I guess, by Yuna Kim, who is like the legendary queen of a figure skating in general, but especially of South Korean figure skating. So it's really lovely. I guess Yuna helped Unsu pick her music for the short. So it's really sweet.
Yeah. And then it's choreographed by Jeffrey Buttle and she does work with Raph. And that's like such a dream team to have on your side when you're 15. Like, can you imagine that? Yuna Kim and Jeffrey Buttle and Raph and like the rest of Raph's team, like all working towards this beautiful product that is this program. It is Somewhere in Time by John Barry.
Which is like a lovely,
yeah, it's a soundtrack, so I'm assuming it's from like Somewhere in Time. She looks wonderful. I know we have like a disagreement over this garment because I think it's stunning and I really love like the bluish gray color scheme, and I feel like you have opinions about that.
I do. Well, because I don't remember whether it had, like, gray on the bottom when she skated in the Grand Prix series. I feel like it was just white, or maybe I didn't notice the gray, but it was, like, my favorite white on ice just because it's got, like, the flowy sleeves and the beautiful, like, circle-y pattern and the sparkles. I thought it was just so pretty. And then I was like, oh, no, it looks like she fell in dirty snow because it's, like, got the gray on the bottom. But I don't know. I mean, I only dislike it because of what I feel like it could be if it was just all white. But, like, I get it. It's hard to skate in a white dress on ice. People won't see you.
Like, especially if you're watching on a crappy live stream. It's like, where is this person? So I do appreciate the gray, and I think it's pretty. Also, like, the very scalloped back, for some reason, like, really caught my attention last time I watched that. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but I think it's interesting. Do we want to talk about elements that we like in this?
All of her elements. Her combo, it's with the triple lutz, triple toe. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. She's got a gorgeous triple flip. And then she does her spread eagle into her double axel, which I know that we always love.
Yes. I'm like physically cheering for that. I love going from like long dramatic lines into, and here is the most difficult jump, just casual and beautiful. Ah, stunning. In transitions, she does this lunge, and it's like on a dramatic point of the music, and it's just so majestic. A lunge, like, compared to the rest of the things she does, is not a hard element, but it, like, the way she performs it is just like, ah, and I love that.
She's also just got a really dreamy, expressive face. Like, I think that she tells a story well. She's got the full package for me, and if she has, you know, maybe a few areas to improve on, it's still really exciting that she's 15 and she's studying with, you know, one of the best coaches, at least in our country, if not in the world. So we say this a lot, like, oh, we're so excited to see where she's going to go. But, like, I really feel like she could be a big contender on the world stage in the next few years.
Yeah, and it's exciting because we're, like, a year out of the Olympics. And in 4 years, she's going to be, like, 19 and hopefully, you know, super strong if everything's, you know, goes well for her. In the meantime, we're not gonna jinx her. That's a very hot, very early take, but I'm gonna make it because it's our podcast.
We can do what we want, and in this house, we love her.
She finishes with, like, she holds her pose. She kind of looks, you know, pleased, but, like, she's like, at the same time, and it's very like precious. I appreciate it, though. She also gets some very important plushies, and I know we're gonna talk about plushies later, but I need to call them out. She gets 2 Peppa Pigs and a turtle.
Sometimes a family is just 2 Peppa Pigs and a big turtle.
It's 2019. It's allowed. But she gets 69.14.
Nice.
And also she gets a deduction, which is upsetting, but it's also the source of some of my favorite kiss and cry banter. In this episode.
Oh, yeah. And Ralph's like, deduction, who cares? Like, he's very sweet with her, and we see this a little more after the free skate, too, but you can tell Ralph, for all that he's kind of the grumpy dad coach, he is so sweet with the skaters that I think need, like, a softer hand, and it looks like Eunsu might be one of them. He's just very gentle and reassuring with her, and it's cute to see that from him because he does have that kind of gruff exterior.
I think it's very, like, admirable that he's obviously, like, so experienced that he can kind of estimate how much, you know, tough love versus how much, like, more of that softness his athletes need, which is different than, like, what I was saying about Terry. And again, this is not an anti-Terry podcast, but, you know, it might be. But yeah, I think it's very, it speaks to, like, his skills as a coach, because in order to coach people, you don't only have to be, like, good at explaining elements, you have to be good at connecting with people and making them trust you.
Agree.
I'm getting like this weird sound.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard that. It sounded like trumpets, like doo-doo.
It was like, alive. It was something happened with my neighbors upstairs. We're good. All right, this is such an important part of this podcast. Whew, because in third place, we have my lawfully wedded actual legal wife, Miss Mariah Bell. As we know from U.S. Nationals, on this podcast, we love her dearly. This was a very exciting skate for her.
It was. It's the skate we've been waiting for, and it's already the most joyful program in existence. It's the Celine Dion To Love You More, and this was, like, the triumphant, beautiful, clean skate that we've been waiting for with this program, and I literally was beside myself.
I had, like, full body chills. The first time I watched it, but also, like, any time I've rewatched it since.
This is where I wrote in my notes, I meant to write, I get chills every time, but I accidentally wrote, I get chilies every time I watch this.
I've never been to a Chili's. What do you get at a Chili's?
Oh, my God. Netta, you have never been to Chili's?
I have not.
one of the best chain restaurants because it's like Tex-Mex themed. They have these things called honey chipotle chicken tenders.
Yeah, that sounds like I'd love fingers. That. So Chili's, if you're out there, we are looking for sponsors, and also like I would love to try your honey blah 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 chicken things. So
they also have a skillet cookie, like they bring it to you in your own skillet, and it's like a giant cookie. It's amazing.
That is incredible, and I want 20 of them right now. But Mariah, it is wonderful. This is, I don't want to break it down into elements, even though I have like some notes on that, just because it's just such a beautiful program. And I said it during Nationals, but I'm going to say it again. It's like such a testament to Adam Rippon's potential skill as a choreographer, because some of the choices he's made in like putting elements to particular moments in the song are fucking inspired. And this is like the first like big thing that we've seen him choreograph for someone else. I'm sure he's like self-choreographed, I think he has. But now that he's retired, maybe he should consider just doing this more, because watching his work performed is very delightful.
Yeah, and like to me, the way that you know that a program is really well choreographed is that it doesn't just feel like a layout strung together by some movements. It feels like one big cohesive piece. And like they've snuck in the elements, but you didn't clock them.
Yeah.
It's like when your mom makes you something to eat and she snuck the vegetables in, but like you didn't notice. And then afterwards she's like, guess what was in that? A triple flip.
My favorite vegetable, the triple flip.
That's how Shoma has to eat his vegetables.
Just like hidden in a flip.
I know, like his spin face, his mouth is open, and someone just like sneaks a little broccoli in there.
That sounds like you could die. So I understand why he doesn't like vegetables if that's how he consumes them. Sounds dangerous. Sounds... Speaking of a triple flip, Mariah has a beautiful triple flip. It's so dramatic. And
it's triumphant when she lands it. She like full on.
She like fist pumps.
She does. She pumps her fist in the air. And I love that. It's so wholesome and so on brand for her to just be like unapologetically like, yes, I did it. Yay. It's just so sweet.
After that, she said in like one of the off-ice interviews that she like didn't even know she did that. And I'm like, that is so precious.
Yeah, it's like, I personally love it when skaters are visibly happy for themselves mid-program, even though I know that some people might find it tacky. I really love it. I'm like, yes, you work so hard. Just like celebrate yourself a little bit.
No, listen, I feel like it works with like this program because it's already like so, like it has those elements and those moments built in. You know, that moment in... It's right as the chorus kicks in and she goes, like, back on the heels of her bleeds. And she's, like, arms out just, like, for a second. And she seems, like, suspended in, like, midair before she goes, like, gliding forwards. It has those moments built in, which is why I feel like it's acceptable to, like, celebrate your triple flip. If she were skating to, like, Schindler's List, close to this. You know, there's, like... There's a matter of storytelling that's, like, very important here. Also, she does this sit spin into the chorus. It's, like, to the violin. And it's just so beautiful. It's, like, I'm just raving about Adam. Like, someone add him and let him know. I'm, like, so thrilled with this choreography. And the more I, like, analyze it, the more I'm, like, this is, like, such a smartly built program.
So here's the thing. We clearly didn't see anything wrong with this program, but the judges were obviously on some other bullshit.
Yeah. Your program score is split into executed elements and program components, and they factor in differently as points, and then you add up those points, and that's your overall score. Your total segment score is those two things combined. So your elements is like your jumps and your spins, and basically that. It's jumps and spins and how well you perform them. They have like a base value, and then you add grade of execution points on top of that base value. And that's how those points are collected. And then you have your program components, which is the part that we're like more qualified to talk about. If we were ever qualified to talk about scoring, it would be on program components, because that's interpretation of music, composition, which is like choreography, performance, transition, and basic skating skills. And this would all be great if Mariah got some, because she was robbed very aggressively. She gets like a 31.55. which is way too low for this program.
Yeah, well, it's just like there are certain skaters who you know are like good technicians, but where they really sell it is their performance. And you expect the scores to reflect that and have it be like the tech scores are good and then the PCS scores are great. And so I would put Mariah in that category. And then when the PCS scores aren't there, it's like, but that's what she does best. Why would you not give her those points?
Honestly, some people would be thrilled with, she gets like, oh, like sevens and eights across the board. But like she gets, her overall score for a performance is like an 8.18. And that's just unreasonable for...
Like it's very, 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 very slightly higher than Tursunbaeva, who, as we said, that's like where she loses us is her performance. So it just doesn't feel right that there would be such a tiny, tiny margin between people whose performance styles are so vastly different.
Yeah, and there was like a bit of an outcry on like the skating side of the internet as well, because people were like, what is happening? Why is this is unreasonable? But yeah, if anyone has seen those points, let us know, or like call your nearest police station, because they've been taken and it's not right. It's not okay.
She's going to make it anyway.
She does make it anyway, because she places third in this short program with a total segment score of a 70.02. All right, in second place for the short program, we have Miss Kaori Sakamoto. And before we do anything else, we have to talk about this announcer at this event.
Oh my God. Okay, the announcer at this event, and I want to be clear, this really sounded like English was their first language, probably their only language based on their pronunciation of other names. So I'm not making fun of someone who like can't speak English well, okay? This is like presumably an American announcer who's coming out here. She like doesn't know the name of the event that she's announcing. She repeatedly was like, the four continents championship. She forgot the name of the Olympics. She said the Olympic games. And the way she pronounced some of these names, she, first of all, poor Kaylani Crane, she found a new way to say that every time. And then the worst, the most egregious, was Kaori Sakamoto. Now, I'm not fluent in Japanese, okay? But, like, I'm okay. So let me pronounce my understanding of how her name is supposed to sound. It's supposed to be, like, Kaori Sakamoto, okay? And the way that this woman says it is Kahori.
Which is my new drag name as well, is Kahori Sakamoto. It's criminal.
Why did she have to do Kaori dirty like that? She didn't deserve that.
It's harder though. There's no H in there. It's K-A-O-R-I. It's the easiest way you could possibly read that.
It's like cow, like the animal, like moo moo, and then re. Kaori.
Kaori.
That's it.
It's so simple. I'm convinced that this announcer was having like a prolonged stroke for like 3 days. It's the only reason.
Yeah, so the stroke announcer would call her Kahori Sakamoto, but anyway, Kaori Sakamoto, the reigning Japanese national champion, which is no small feat because that is a deep fucking field.
Yeah, it's incredible. She is so good, and she looks beautiful. I adore that dress so deeply.
A magenta into white, like dark to light ombre, asymmetrical neckline. Every piece of this is right.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Except
the music. Do you want to talk to us about this music?
Yeah. Okay. So here's the tea. This music, it's called From My First Moment, and it's Charlotte Church singing to a melody by Erik Satie, which you would know if you heard it. It's like the famous Satie melody that's like, doo, 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 doo. Okay. Charlotte Church is singing words that are very like wind beneath my wings because you loved me, like thanks for loving me mom and dad.
It's a graduation song. It's very much like
so saccharine, and like her voice, like if you don't know Charlotte Church, she was like kind of like a girl Josh Groban in like the early 2000s. She's just got this very like boy soprano-y breathy voice, and she's kind of like Christian overtone-y. It's just, she like sang the prayer, like,
God, of course
just,
she
like
did.
I'll try and do it.
Take it
so
away.
So it's like, from my first moment,
I lost some of that.
I would be lost without you. Oh my God, it's so like, ugh.
You know how I was talking with Claire de Lune about, like, how you're going to bed in a white nightgown and there's, like, one candle at your window? This is later the same night you've been woken up, like, before sunrise and you have to run through a field in that same nightgown.
Like a pad commercial.
Like a pad commercial, or it's, like, Kate Bush, but you're in white. Or it's like...
Okay, but I would fucking love to see Cowrie skate to Kate Bush. This is like the opposite, because Kate Bush is like interesting and artistic, and Charlotte Church is like just eating like Ready Whip out of the can. Like, there's no flavor.
Yeah, it's very much like... It's like you're running towards Mr. Darcy, but Mr. Darcy is not coming.
But Mr. Darcy is Alexander Samarin and just like very milquetoast.
It's Pride and Prejudice, but it's Kaori and Alexander Samarin. Has anyone done, like, a Pride and Prejudice on ice? Is there, like...
No, because who could be Mr. Darcy? Like, nobody. Who is skating with a Mr. Darcy vibe right now?
I mean, Javi. Let me just hang up my Spanish flag so I can cry for a second. Okay, so, other than this music choice, she is so beautiful. She has this combo jump, which is a triple flip, triple toe, and she literally takes off and flies for, like, half of that. She goes up so high, it is slightly terrifying.
Yeah, her spirals are some of the most gorgeous on Earth.
Yeah, and she's she's, like, the perfect mix of, like, athleticism and, like, artistic, you know, nice, angelic, elegant performance.
She is, and that contrast is so stark in the Japanese ladies' field in particular, because I think about Rika as someone who has all these technical elements that the other girls don't have. And then I think, you know, we have somebody like Satoko Miyahara who, you know, maybe her jumps aren't the strongest, but she's just got this grace and this presence on ice that no one can touch. And Kaori is kind of that perfect marriage of those two, where maybe she's not quite fully on either end of the spectrum, but she has enough of the whole package that it makes sense that she would, you know.
And that's why she won nationals. Yeah,
exactly.
She's just good at things. She has this spin. It's like a transitional. It's not one of her important spins, but she like spins with her arms out, and it feels like, you know, in that field, that proverbial pad commercial field, like the sun's finally rising and she's spinning, like doing like her like greeting to the sun. It is
Full Sound of Music.
The hills are alive. It's,
oh my god, I would love to see Kaori play Maria. She'd be so good because she's such a ray of sunshine, and like I would just want her to have like a guitar and she can teach me how to sing.
Yeah, for our next trick, we're gonna recast Sound of Music with figure skaters. Half of them are 16 going on 17, so it's not hard. Okay, so for her short program, Kaori gets 73.36, which is her season's best, which is super exciting. We love a season's best at four continents. Yeah, and she is second. And the only person up to talk about out of ladies is Ms. Brady Tanel.
Mm-hmm. So she skates to a song called Rebirth, which is featured on an album called Now That's What I Call Epic Music, which I think is just delightful.
It is, like, so correct, though. It's, like, a very particular kind of song. We've talked about it before, like, during Nationals. It's very much, like, young adult-led dystopian heroine vibes. In the, like, second-rate Hunger Games ripoff that this is. This is, like, the scene where she's, like, walking up to the array of weapons and she picks up, like, the gun sword, and people are like, but Brady, no one's ever picked up the gun sword, and it's never, ever worked, and she's like, watch me. And then she goes off and, like, kills the bad guy or something.
Anyway, this is fantastic, but the thing about Brady is she emotes really well, like, with her face and her physicality. She really tells a story, as long as the story is, like, very fraught and angsty. She does that very well. But I wouldn't say that artistry is, like, her strongest point. I would say she's definitely, like, a really good technician who's working on her artistry.
I also feel like we are, because she's such a, like, warrior and she is actually fighting for something in real life, we are given the, like, chance to read into that story. And here we're like, oh, yeah, she's this warrior woman and she's fighting and she's actually just, you know, competing in real life, which makes it read more like a better performance, like artistically.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah, no, it is.
Benoit Richaud.
Oh, my husband.
That's smart of him to say, okay, well, this is what she's really feeling. Let's make that a program around it. Again, I love this costume. It's blue and black, and it's got this cool, like, tree branch, lightning-y kind of detail. We both loved her spread eagle where she's, like, flexed.
Yeah, it's like, I have it described as a clenched fist spread eagle. It's very, like, she's showing, like, the Hunger Games-y crowd that she's got her, it's the gun sword. This is all about the gun sword. She also has that split jump, which, like, gets me going every time. It's one of those things that's just, like, showing off her skating skills, because, I mean, she gets, like, PCS points for it, but, like, it's not a component, but she's like, and then I'm gonna do a split jump. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that's correct.
Her spins get such high GOEs, too. Like,
she's so centered. I'm like, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, and this is a really strong performance of the particular program, too, and it gets her first place, which is kind of incredible.
Yes! She goes out with her sword, and she gets herself a 73.91 points, which is also a season's best. How fucking exciting is that?
Yeah, I mean, all three American ladies.
Clean skates! God, I love a clean skate. It was so exciting. Okay, here's the deal. We had so many favorites. Usually we would like go out and also talk about people who are our favorites in depth, but there's so many of them at Four Continents. We're just gonna do a rapid fire shout out with like fun facts or things, but quickly.
I want to shout out my Mihara. Okay, so she didn't crack the top six, but Four Continents foreshadowing next week. And also, she's just delightful to watch, and costume is beautiful, and ultimately, she literally just two-footed one jump, and it was enough to keep her out of the top six. So, like, that's how tight the competition was.
Correct. I want to shout out Miss Joanna So from Hong Kong, who skates to probably the best Chicago selection that I've seen in a long time. She skates to When You're Good to Mama, and that's such a solid choice, and I stand very hard.
I also want to shout out Ting Sui. You know, her technical components, I don't think, are, like, totally up to the place where, you know, a clean skate could get her into the top six, but she's very much the future, and we love her.
I also want to shout out Miss Elaine Chartrand from Canada, who did not have a very good short program, and she struggled with it, and she had, like, a very touching tweet about it after, but we love her in general, and we wish her all the best all the time.
Okay, let's talk about boys.
Oh my god, let's talk about boys. Let me just get my notes.
Like big boys, itty bitty boys, Mississippi boys, in the city boys.
We haven't gotten a chance to actually talk about some of those boys on the podcast, which is insane because I feel like I talk about them 24/7.
Yeah, it's true. So let's get started.
In number six in the short program, we have Jason Brown from the U.S., who we have talked about because of nationals. But I love him so much. My notes say we're going to talk about a darker, edgier Jason Brown. He had scruff for this particular event. It was so exciting. He looked so beautiful.
He sure did. And he's skating to Love is a Beesh.
Okay, so I do have a note which says, explain Beesh.
Okay, Beesh is a word that I accidentally made up. Beesh is like when you make a comment that is both bitchy and very niche. It's like a very snide, very narrow audience joke. So it's like our whole podcast is very beesh.
This entire thing is very beesh, and he is skating to Love is a Beesh. This is a choreography by David Wilson, and it is also probably my favorite program this season. Just not from like a technical point of view or like anything like that, just like on an emotional level, it's my dream program. Like if I had the technical skill and the chance to pick anything in the world, I feel like I would skate this program. So I love it very much, even though this was probably not like the best we've seen it.
Yeah, he seemed a little nervous and he was a little ahead of the music, which is unlike him, and it's a shame because this is one of those programs that really is choreographed so well to like every beat of the music. So for him to be a little off is noticeable.
I have a note here, which is just in honor of our last episode, and it just says clapping and slapping. Because there was a bunch of that. There is a bunch of that in this choreo as well. I love the level of angst in this program so much. And like, I was upset that he was, you know, kind of nervous this time around, because there is a level of like anger that needs to come through with that. And he was not giving me a lot of that this time. But something I did want to point out, and it's something that he's like personally aware of, is that he is so good at moving on from, like, when something is as successful as an element. You know, when they had, like, the hashtag we get up thing, he actually posted this video from him doing his Hamilton program last year when he, like, fell and he turned it into, like, a little backwards roll thing on the ice. And he was like, yeah, I've fallen so many times that I'm starting to, like, come up with, I think he said creative ways to get out of it or something. Like, he falls on his triple axel, like, and then he, like, skates straight through that. It's one of those things where, like, someone less experienced would have probably taken a second to recover, and he's just, like, right back up. And I find that very admirable.
Yeah, and then he nails his next combo, which is what, a triple lutz, triple toe. You know, I never actually noticed that they say the word bitch in the lyrics. I can't believe the ISU allowed that.
It's a very explicit program, and I kind of like that. There's, like, a level of, I know I keep joking about him being edgier this season, but it's a very solid choice.
Yeah, who would have thought? This is very much like a wholesome young Disney star kind of being like, I'm going to release an album where I'm wearing slutty clothes and I'm singing about doing it.
Okay, I have one bone to pick with David Wilson in particular about this program. And I have this theory that it's because we're not lucky enough. We've only seen this program televised. I've never seen it live. And there's always, like, someone making the choice of, like, what camera we're seeing. So I always wonder how much of, like, what we're seeing is influenced by, like, camera angles and, like, perspective. But there's a bit as he enters the step sequence where it always looks like he trips and falls, but it's actually a part of the choreo because he does it every single time. And I wonder if I would understand why and how if I saw it from somewhere else. But every single time I've seen it, it just feels wrong, and I just want to know why.
I don't even notice. Like, I've never noticed that, but maybe...
I'm gonna make you watch it again. You're gonna see okay. What I mean. I just want to see this program clean so badly. It's like...
I know.
It's so close, and it's been so close, like, several times. I just want to see it at Worlds.
So, here's the thing with Jason. Though Jason gets sixth overall in the short, he gets the second highest PCS score, which just goes to show that those skating skills and artistic elements are really what he does best.
I'm looking at those PCS scores right now, and he doesn't fall below, like, an 850. His lowest PCS point is an 850, and then it goes all the way up to, like, 9.5s.
That's insane.
And I...
850 is, like, most people's highest.
Yeah. So, like, if he just skates out, like, with... you know, a calmer energy and nails the jumps and everything, this could be fucking life-changing. And I want that for him so badly.
I want that at Worlds so bad.
Before we move on, I do want to point out that throughout this competition, my personal hero, Brian Norser, does several costume changes. And it seems like some of them, and we're going to get there, some of them are he wears, like, the jackets that have, like, the countries of his skaters. For Jason, he just wears, like, this beautiful, like, wool coat, and he looks very stylish because we know he's a fashion icon.
A jacket king.
With an impressive tie collection as well. We talked about his BCS, but his actual score that he gets for this is 86.57. Speaking of numbers, number five.
Great segue.
It's Keegan Messing. And this is the first time we get to talk about Keegan on this podcast, and I'm fired up because I love him so much.
Ye fucking ha!
I love him so much. It's
he's
just
a floppy man.
He's a floppy man. Okay, so he's from Canada, and he skates to...
It's the no-homo Michael Bublé version of Toy Story, in which Michael Bublé changes the thing in the middle, where instead of saying, it's you and me, boy, he just says, it's you and me. But why? It's not a romantic song, and it makes me so angry. Like, does he think that the song is, like, the romantic duet between Buzz and Woody? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I genuinely do not know how to explain how happy his skating makes me.
Like an old Hollywood, like, suave but floppy. Like,
suave but floppy. Oh, God. Yeah, that's very, very apt, actually.
Swappy.
The way he skates is what Ryan Gosling wanted to be doing in La La Land, but couldn't.
Yes. Yes.
Like, it's very, like, the contemporary retelling of old Hollywood. The thing I really love about Keegan skating is that he is always smiling, and it never feels performative. It just feels like he's genuinely having fun, like, being out there. I like a little bit of danger. And he is a little bit of a liability. Because he is, he's an incredible jumper. He gets, like, he has his quads, and he gets, like, so much height in his jumps, and he travels so far. The thing is, he doesn't always land them.
Yeah, he's not good at landing.
Most memorably and recently at the Grand Prix final, he fell on one of his jumps. He tried to get up and he couldn't, and he went flying into the boards, like sitting on his butt, like facing with his back to the boards. It was deeply traumatic, and
it was very traumatic.
It stays with me anytime I'm skating. But then he has skates like this one without like any major mishaps, and they're just so deeply entertaining to watch.
Yeah, he's so stylish with his skating.
He has the cool little flares. He has to, like, transitions. He's just... Obviously, like, his skating skills when he's not jumping are, like, fucking outstanding.
You have to talk about what he's dressed like, too.
So, you know, most boys would wear, like, an ombre blouse or some slutty black mesh thing. Keegan, the actual love of my life, Keegan Messing, skates in what can only be described as... If you have, like, this cool substitute geography teacher who's, like, you have, like, a different geography teacher, but then he, like, subs in sometimes, and you're, like, so excited when you hear he's doing the class because he's, like, young and charming and he, like, knows memes. That's Keegan in this sweater vest. It's literally, like, an Argyle sweater vest. Okay, so for all of that beautiful stuff, Keegan gets 88.18 points. And places fifth in the short.
Yeah, he usually wears a cowboy hat in the Kiss and Cry, but he forgot it. And I know this because I asked him about it over a live chat. And he explained that he didn't have it because he forgot it because he was running late and he forgot to shave. And then he was worried he was going to, like, miss the bus to the rink or something. But yeah, he was like, no, I forgot it.
He's very chaotic and I love that for him.
I know, what a sweetheart. And he and Nam Nguyen are, like, just little bros. And they have such a funny friendship because, like, Keegan's such a ray of sunshine and Nam is such a little, like, I don't know, he's, like, kind of grumpy, kind of snarky, like, sarcastic energy. I don't know, they're, like, a fun pair.
It's great, it's chaos, and I, yeah, it makes me very, very happy. Speaking of chaos that makes me happy, up next, making his podcast debut, right? It's Shoma Uno.
I cannot believe we have not talked about Shoma Uno. Shoma Uno is 21 years old. He's from Japan. I don't know if you've heard of Japan, but they're a pretty big deal in figure skating. Shoma Uno is one of the absolute best men's figure skaters in the world, but because he exists in the same world as Yuzuru Hanyu, he's constantly getting silver in international events. Something that people are referring to as the silver curse. It's like, oh no, Shoma. And he wins gold sometimes, but it's like, oh, well, it's because Yuzu wasn't there. Like, he's the reigning national Japanese champion because Yuzu wasn't there. And so it's like this whole thing where it's like, when's he gonna win gold? When's he gonna win gold? And then, of course, he has an ankle injury coming into this. So it's this major high-stakes deal. Okay, so here's my theory. I think that Yuzuru Hanyu is, like, a genderless spirit deity that has descended from Mount Fuji to teach humanity about grace and beauty. And so I think that, naturally, whoever, like, the chaos, like, trickster gods are, decided that they're going to make some sort of anti-Yuzu. And so they created Shoma, who is pure, unadulterated, chaotic energy shoved into the body of, like, a tiny little Japanese man.
I feel like the gods of mischief, like, miscalculated how tiny he was gonna end up being. This is his short program. Do you want to tell us about it?
I do. So it's to a Spanish guitar cover of Stairway to Heaven, and he skates it in what I call the Purple Rain costume, which, like, when Yuzu literally skated to Prince a few seasons ago in a purple costume, like, as an homage to Purple Rain, this is not even a Prince, but it's so much more Prince. It's, like, a full velvet purple jumpsuit with, like, details and that are, but it's all matte. There's, like, no sparkles. I personally find it really sexy, but I think that that would be, like, a very niche.
It's a very beige opinion.
It's a very beige opinion.
It's deeply beige. I think it looks like he's skating in a Juicy Couture tracksuit.
Yeah, but so, like... you know, your mileage may vary. I agree, but also think that's really hot. All right.
Back to Shoma.
Oh no. This really, truly is a clappin' and slappin'.
Yeah, it's a mellower side of our, like, Ernest Sexy Rock TM.
I actually would not put this in with Ernest Sexy Rock.
Ernie
Sexy Rock, as we call him, because we're close like that. So, like...
The importance of being Ernest Sexy Rock. Yeah, it's just...
It's like got, it's like Spanish guitar, so it's actually, for me, a lot more in the vein of, like, the, like, Spanish-y, Latin-y kind of programs, except it's like he doesn't wear red and black and, like, make it a huge thing, so I'm okay with it.
It does not insist upon itself. He was nervous, though, this time around, for some reason.
Yeah, he also looked like he might have been a little drugged out, which, like, fair if he's, like, in a lot of pain.
Yeah, I feel like he was, like, probably in a bunch of painkillers. There was more empty than chaos in his expression this time around. But also, like, as we know from, like, previous press conferences and stuff, he is very much, like, a perfectionist who is, like, extremely hard on himself for, like, the tiniest mishap. So I feel like he was, like, putting a lot of pressure on himself as well.
And he did have a few tiny mishaps. He put his hand down on his quad toe. But you know what? That triple axle was it. It was so great.
It was so clean and so beautiful.
And he does this thing, which you'll just have to watch the program because I can't really describe to you what he does. A little scoot scoot. It's choreographed by his coach, Mihoko Higuchi, who did all of his choreo this season. And she is, in addition to being the most glamorous woman in Japan, like, every single time she shows up in the Kiss and Cry, she's got, like, a full purse, a full look. Like, she's so pretty.
She has, like, 17 coats, like, Brian Orser wishes. He had this coat collection. Seriously, she's so wonderful.
But also, she's an amazing choreographer. All of his step sequences, all of his, like, it's really just, like, amazing. And this step sequence, like, it literally got me pregnant. I had a child. We named her Pizzeria Uno.
I will say this is not even my favorite part of this choreo. I know that's a hot take. My favorite part of this choreo is when he travels the entire short width of the rink on his knees. He like,
oh, yeah.
He does like a spinny, spinny, spinny like Stefan Lambiel fantasy, and it's so beautiful to watch. I don't know. There's something about it that I'm really into. Also, the spread eagle, you know we love a good spread eagle. It's so...
And in his short program, it's much more modest, too. But that's, like, his signature move, and I think he has the best spread eagle in the game.
Out of current competing skaters, I am inclined to agree with that.
Yeah, same. Just out of the current competitive bunch.
And if you have a different opinion, you're free to add us at IcedTpod on Instagram and Twitter and send us GIFs of your favorite spread eagle.
Can I, I'm gonna, go ahead and, put Netta on blast for a minute, because they just sent me a picture of Benoit Richaud on Instagram with the cat daddy while we were recording just now.
I did!
Jesus. Okay. You need to be publicly shamed for that.
I'm not ashamed. I will make no apologies for this. I own this, and I'm proud of myself. Also, it's just not his story, so, like, by the time you listen to this, you won't even be able to enjoy this beautiful picture of him.
It's just him.
He's wearing Comme des Garçons, though. He's stylish and beautiful. Okay, moving on.
Let's talk about Shoma. So Shoma doesn't skate his best. Granted, it's a pretty high bar. Like, yeah. He's really fucking incredible, so for him to not skate his best is still quite good, but as we have said many times, really, really tight race for the boys too. So this puts him
in fourth place. Something I didn't mention that I really love about this program is like the little double ending. It's another one of those great like choreo things where like every single time, even though I know it's coming, it just like gets me going. It's so smart. And on that note, because he's beautiful, and despite his mishaps, he does score 91.76 points for his short program. Oh my god, up next we have the fashion king himself. It's Mr. Boyang Jin. And we've never actually talked about him either, which is so exciting. We love him.
I can't believe we've never talked about Boyang Jin. He's so man.
He is so man. Before we do anything else, we have to explain he's so man. It's so important. Okay, so here's the deal with he's so man. Skate Twitter is a wonderful place for updates and opinions of people about figure skating, but some of those people are non-native English speakers, myself being one of them, and sometimes because people are like translating or like it's automatic translations, things go wrong, and that's wonderful. So it was back at Chinese Nationals. Basically what happened was I couldn't watch Chinese Nationals because I actually have a little bit of a life outside of watching figure skating. So I was on Twitter like trolling the Boyang tag to see like how he was doing, And someone posted a video of him at the rink, like by the boards, talking to his coach and changing out of his blouse for some insane reason. I don't know why he was doing that on the ice.
Why was he was changing on the ice, like into his costume.
I don't know what was happening. It was like a fan cam footage of him with his, you know, pecs and abs and everything out. And someone posted that and they were like, oh my God, it's Boyang, blah, 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 blah. He's so man. And I was like, you know what? That is correct. He is indeed so very man. And it just kind of stuck.
He is so man.
He is very man. I need to talk about his costume.
Okay. Why don't you describe it?
Okay, so his costume, he's wearing this short sleeve turtleneck, which is predominantly black, but it also has 3D crystals, which, if you're not familiar with, like, glitter technology, yeah, the cutting edge of glitter technology, it's, like, it reflects light in, like, various colors. So even though his costume is very monochrome, if you look closely, all of the stonework on that costume is, like, red and green and blue and I think some yellow. And it's so beautiful because it's, like, a very sleek overall look. But if you, like, when they zoom in, you get to see, like, pops of color, which is super cute and, like, very fun. He is also wearing, like, I mean, obviously they're, like, jeggings because he's skating and he has to be flexible, but it's, like, ripped jeans. It's, like, ripped jean jeggings and fun gloves. So it's, like, overall, like, a lot of things are happening and it's somehow great. I don't know. It works.
I adore it.
It's great. He did add his tassels.
He did. It looks like he was like, we need like a string of graduation tassels. Wrap them around my middle.
It's a great costume. I'm actually not mad at the tassels because they move, like, they're super fun when he's spinning. And I get why he would have wanted some, like, volume and, like, movement.
Because he has gold blades.
He has the goldest blades. So he's skating to the Beatles. That's all I have to say.
I know, Netta doesn't like the Beatles, but it's not the Beatles, I don't think. I think it's a cover, like, I could be wrong, but I think it's a cover, and it's While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
But the thing is, he sells it so hard that I'm not even mad at it. Like, this is the only time where I would, like, voluntarily put this on and watch it and enjoy the Beatles for myself.
He, like, feels his rock fantasy.
God, he does. Like,
he goes on his toe picks and he points to the audience, he does his guitar. And it's like blink and you miss it. I'm like, if you can sneak 1/2 a second of air guitar by me, I'll let you get away with it, you crazy kids.
I'm not into it. It's the one thing where I'm like, because he's giving me so much with, like, the rest of this, you know, he has, like, a headbang moment. There's, like, the sit spin where his leg looks like a guitar. There's, like, a whole bunch of shit that's, like, actual rock star that I don't need the, you know, kid in his bedroom playing Guitar Hero.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
The rest of it is, like, so, like, genuinely rockstar, and I'm like, you don't need this. You're better than this. But overall, like, the vibes of this are just, it's great. It works.
You know what I love is how, like, at some point in skating history, all male skaters decided that, like, the sexy move is to ruffle your own hair. And, like, Boyang does it, and it's so great, and one person in the audience just goes, woo!
That was, like, me. Yeah. I time and space traveled just to be there for that 1 second to do that.
Or you didn't, and you just wooed so loud from Bulgaria that it went all the way to Anaheim.
I was, like, fully screaming across, like, 10 time zones. Feels correct. I'm always so happy when he does well, because he's one of those guys where, like, sometimes I feel concerned for him because we know for a fact that he's very self-critical, and I just want him to do well and be happy.
Agreed. And he had kind of a rough Grand Prix season, and he's actually the reigning Four Continents champion, so this was cool.
He ends up placing third with 92.17 points. Cool.
Good for him.
Up next, in second place, we have Jeonghwan Cha from Korea, who is a sweet, sweet little baby boy, and we love him. Baby J. He is, like, he's living his, like, little K-pop fantasy at all times with his fun hair and his fans.
And his whole theme this season is, like, I'm a little prince. Like, he does his Cinderella's Prince short program, and then he does Romeo for his free skate, and I'm like, gosh, I just love that.
Yeah, it's a very smart, like, overall, like, concept for his entire season, I think.
This is his Cinderella. It's the Prokofiev version of Cinderella. And it's once again a David Wilson masterpiece. This choreo is so fun. And also, like, a thing that really impressed me this particular time is, like, before he's even started skating, he looks, like, so calm and, like, collected and, like, confident. And I'm like, okay, you got this. I'm not even worried. It's worth noting that he's been, like, you know, he's at the cricket club and he's been, like, working very hard on, like, this entire season. And he's just been getting better and better, which is the way we want to see things go, right?
Yeah, his senior debut was the Olympics back last February. And then, so this is his first full senior season. And so far, he's been kind of the bronze king. He got bronze at Grand Prix events and then bronze at the final.
Another thing that's, like, really impressive to me is that, like, all of his combos and, like, his overall, like, skating skills, like, transitions and, like, all of his spins and stuff are always, like, so seamless. And it's the same thing with, like, his combo jumps. He's always, like, he just kind of stays he stays in one spot and just jumps a bunch. And I admire that. He has this little moment in this, which is, like, one of those brilliant David Wilson choreo moments where he's, like, performing the pace of a prince, and he has his arms up with, like, his elbows by his sides, and he kind of, like, does this, like, marching motion. It's, like, very, like, we're off to see the wizard. And it makes me so happy. It's, like, so precious. It's, like, a little, like, tongue-in-cheek moment in this, like, otherwise, like, very intense program. It's, like, I am being a prince! And it just makes me very happy.
And then he does his, like, voguing TikTok, oh, the clock strikes
midnight. Oh, my God. And my arms are
clocking. He has, like, between this and his free, I honestly, he has some of the best choreography this
season. Oh, fully, yeah. And he, like, sells it in a way which, like, really makes it, like, fully click. I do love this costume. It's, like, a very, it's another one. It's, like, very, like, sleek and monochrome from afar. But when you zoom in, you find out that his entire back is, like, a lace cutout. It's black lace. And it's, it just works. Like, there's no way to, like, really describe it without being, like, ridiculous about it. But it's black lace cutouts and it's fun.
It's bold. I think a lot of the guys are nervous to do such a slutty detail. And, oh, no, yeah. I can't have a DP. Better put in, like, an awkward panel that doesn't match my skin. Or, oh, no, I can't have a mesh top. Let me put a white t-shirt under it and mix resina.
I love that this is an episode about everyone except for Europe, and you're still making this about Mick Brezina. I mean, it's relatable.
I found a way.
Where there is a will, there's Mick Brezina. Last thing I will say about Junghwan is that at the Kiss and Cry, Brian Orser meets him in, first of all, his Olympics jacket from last year, but it's also the jacket that says Korea in the back. Going back to Brian Orser's jacket collection, I think it's very, very sweet that he does costume changes.
So cute.
It's very precious. It's, like, such a cute detail. Also, it means that he has to show up to the rink with, like, a backpack full of jackets. And that's just, like, the kind of attention to detail that I very much appreciate. Okay, so Junghwan gets 97.33 points, which is his season's best, and it's very sweet.
Yeah, while they're waiting in the Kiss and Cry, Brian's like, 90-something would be nice, and then he gets the score, and then Brian goes, holy crap, that's awesome, 97!
It's so precious, they were so excited. Honestly, like, going into this event, I was like, anything could happen. I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no predictions for the podium, blah, 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 blah. I was like, Shoma's probably going to do well, and I don't know about the rest of it. I did not expect to see Vincent Zhou in the lead after the short.
Yeah, I mean, his artistry is not always there, and so you never know where his PCS points are going to be. Like, he's been working on it, but we never know.
Yeah, so honestly, like, as we've said before, people like to criticize Vincent for, like, a plethora of things, and we're not here to talk about that. Some people criticized him for the quality of his skating in this particular program, and I'm here to disagree with that because I have a functioning pair of eyes, and regardless of what you think about him or, like, his artistry, he skated a technically very well-performed program. Like, this was good.
Yeah, and that his GOE on his quad lutz triple toe with his arms over his head, like, huge.
Yeah, no, it was one of those things, especially with the arms up and, like, all of that. You could tell in his own, like, not the most expressive way that he was really, really working hard for this and he really wanted it. And it, like, worked out for him. Also, I do want to go on record and say that this is not the worst ombre blouse I've ever seen.
No, it's not. It has that geometric detail.
Yeah, it, like, breaks it up, which is smart because it's not, like, oh, like, predictable ombre.
Can you explain your theory that this program is a sex scene in the YA?
Yes, I was getting there. There's
it is honestly the hottest take I've ever heard.
This program, okay, so we're going back to Brady Tennell's Gunsword dystopian movie. This is the scene right before the big battle. So, like, in the morning, they're about to, like, go out and fight, like, the big evil, like, metaphor for capitalism, whatever. They're gonna go out and fight a Terry. But this is, like, the one, like, last night on Earth. Like, they know the world may or may not end. They know that they may or may not, like, die in battle with, like, I don't know, like, war rigs and, like, terrible things.
They're war rigs, but they're Zambonis.
They're gonna skate victorious. I'm not saying it's a good sex scene. I'm not saying they know what they're doing, or like that it's like satisfying in any sort of way. I'm just saying it's like the awkward, like PG-13 scene that like fades to black, but you see like the protagonist and like whoever the fuck Vincent's playing just kind of like start to like make out in the dark and like whatever.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's probably, like, it has some Christian overtones.
They're just, like, grappling at each other, like, dramatically, and you're, like, 14, and you're at the cinema, and you're like, oh my god. I will say there's one moment in this choreo that I feel like works for me, like, artistically, and there's something, I'm not gonna say it's attractive, I'm just gonna say it's compelling. It's when he spread eagles, he does, like, he spread eagles on, like, the S-curve with the edge change halfway through, and the way he does that edge change, first of all, he, like, holds his spread eagle for, like, 12 years, which we always appreciate. It's not as beautiful as Shoma's because it's not as, like, dramatic and artistic, but the way he changes edges feels like he's just, like, giving into, like, whatever impulse is, like, guiding him along this line, along, like, the curve of the spread eagle. Feels like he's not in control, but, like, in a very interesting way. It's just, like, this is the only thing his body knows how to do in this moment.
And yeah, for and some, he's ruffling his hair.
And he ruffles his hair, of course, because it's a sex scene.
It's shorthand for sex. Like, that's what that means.
If he could harness, like, the sense of, like, weird, like, urgency and, like, succumbing to, like, this music and this movement for, like, the rest of this program, it could be, like, super riveting. Because it has, like, all the beginnings, but right now it's, like, a third-rate YA movie, and I need it to be, like, a second-rate movie. I need it to be the same movie that Brady's in, and I'm not sure if it's there.
Yeah, agree.
But he looks so happy at the end. He looks, like, pleased with his performance, which is great.
He does, and he deserves it, because Jesus Christ, I mean, he breaks 100. Like,
he breaks 100! He gets 100 points 18, and him and his coaches, who are so sweet, look very happy. It's also his season's best, by, like, a bunch.
So yeah, we end up with a short program podium that's pretty unexpected, right?
I mean, yeah, no, we get Vincent and then Junghwan and then Boyang, which, honestly, like, if you told me now post-factum, I'm like, yeah, sure, I can see that, but, like, trying to predict that, I never would have guessed, like, ever. So they get their tiny baby medals.
Their little tiny baby medals.
And also, foreshadowing for next week, it's about to mean nothing. Do you want to do quick shout-outs for boys? Because there's so many of them.
So many boys, so little time.
Let's go.
So, my number one skater crush, Mr. Keiji Tanaka, who, despite not cracking the top six, really did a beautiful job, and I'm very proud of my future husband. Over to you.
I would like to give a shout-out to Mr. Tomoki Hiwatashi, who is just wonderful. He went to Junior World Camp, and he came back a changed man. I don't know what happened to him, but he's skating with so much confidence now, and I'm so excited for him. He's going to Junior World, and I can't wait to see what he does. I'm so excited. I love him.
I would like to give a shout-out to Nam Nguyen. Again, despite not cracking the top six, he's still the Canadian national champion, and no one can take that away from him. And no one can take away from him the fact that he had titties out four continents. He does this thing where he pops the top button of his shirt, except he accidentally popped open, like, three buttons, and he just had, like, his full chest out for the entire program.
So after the whole thing happened, the next day he went on Twitter and he says, "Sorry for turning my free skate into a weird strip show, sweating laughing emoji, crying emoji."
And then everyone was like, "Don't apologize."
Yeah, everyone was like thirsty on me, and everyone's like, "You know what? It's okay. myself included. I'm pretty sure I tweeted back at him. Okay, I want to give a shout out to Donovan Carrillo from Mexico, because even though he placed 14th in the short program, he's like a cultural phenomenon. Mexico doesn't really have a lot of figure skaters, and the fact that he was at four continents and he was like in the top 20 something overall and like top 15 is so exciting. And he's been doing like interviews, and you know, he's like this cultural phenomenon now, and I feel like that's awesome, and we stand.
And I would like to give a shout out to Kazuki Tomono.
Oh, Kazuki.
Just a sweet, sweet darling boy from Japan, and he does his short program choreographed by Misha Ge, Cinema Paradiso, which makes me cry every time. It wasn't his best event at all, but I always love to watch him skate because he's just so sweet.
All right, then lastly, I want to give a shout out to Malaysian King Julian GGE, because he's just a rock star. There was a thing on the Olympic Channel's Facebook and social media like a couple days ago where they talk about how he trained before the Olympics at like literally like a shopping center to get himself to the Olympics. And his story is just so impressive. And again, like Donovan, he's from a country that doesn't have a lot of figure skating. And the fact that he is out there and we know his name is awesome. Okay. Right. Plushies matter to me so deeply. And there was a bunch of great ones. Do you want to start us off?
Sure. So Jenwon Cha got, he always just tries to get like as many as he can, which I appreciate. So he got Purple Monster. He got an owl. He got a bear. He got it all.
He also got that donut, which my very own fashion icon, Brian Orser, took away from him and wore as a bracelet, which was an inspired choice.
Elbow deep in the donut, which is a gross thing to say.
Yeah, we're gonna swiftly move on. The strawberry is so important, and I forget who got it.
Oh, it was Hanul Kim got a chocolate-covered strawberry.
Which is, like, such a weirdly, like, romantic plushie, but I'm, like, super into it. I approve. We already mentioned the two pigs and the turtle. Sue's two pigs and a turtle. They're so important, and we support them.
But there was another important pig.
Okay, so here's the deal. Mariah got one of those massive trolls, like from the troll movie, and she also got a pig, but it's just a pig. It's not a Peppa Pig. It's just like a stuffed pig. So we were very excited about the troll and pig.
And I was chanting pig and troll, pig and troll.
And I'm like, don't talk about Nathan and Roman like that. Hey, so that's the joke. Also, she was cuddling that troll for like the duration of her Kiss and Cry stay, and it was so precious. God, I wish I were the troll.
All right.
Social media corner.
I'm in the corner.
Art on Ice is done for this year. They finished their steampunk performance thing, which was so fun to follow if you followed their Instagram, because they did like a lot of like behind the scenes and like here's makeup and here's costumes and like all the fun theater stuff that I enjoy.
I don't know about you, but when I think about steampunk, if I was going to pick one musical act to be a part of that, obviously gotta go with James Blunt.
Oh yeah, obviously James Blunt is like the most steampunk person out there. I'm not gonna get like the Tiger Lilies or like Amanda Palmer or something. It's gonna be James Blunt. But it worked. I don't know. It seemed to work given their like videos that I've seen. Also, it was
Stefan made it work.
Two-time world champion Stefan Lambiel, Spin Daddy. It was his 17th and final year with Art on Ice. He announced before the final performance that he was done with Art on Ice, and he's like moving on to other stuff. And I'm a little bit sad because like watching the repertoire that he has with Art on Ice, he's always like done a lot of fun, innovative stuff. But I'm also like very excited to see what he decides to do next.
It was the 1 year anniversary of the Olympics, and so we got a lot of throwbacks.
Yeah, we got like, it's been a year since Zagitova did this, it's been a year since Yuzu like broke every single record in the world, which was great. We got to like relive all of those moments, and like people
posted
the kind of leftists, which I think about daily. So this concludes the coverage of the short programs at Four Continents. We know we were a little bit late for it, but we hope it was worth it. And next week, we're going to be back on our regular schedule with the coverage of the free skates at Four Continents. So tune in for that. And in the meantime, you can find us on social media. Where are you at on social media?
I am at MeganKelleher3 on Twitter and Instagram. Where are you?
I am at Netta Marie. That's NEDA. And then Marie, like Marie Curie, on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find both of us on iceteapod.com or at iceteapod on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to see Megan make Twitter and Instagram's figure skating memes, that's when where they're at. If you want to see like all of our thoughts and opinions, we have been sort of live tweeting like the Challenge Cup and the Russian Cup final. So if you want to see our opinions on those, find us on social media. And in the meantime,
rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Oh my god, do that. Go on iTunes, go on Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars. We're gonna be forever grateful, and we'll
send you a stuffed chocolate covered strawberry. No, we won't. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.